Lord, help us to commence our service this evening by singing hymn 1085. Hence, vain intruding world, depart. No more allure nor vex my heart. Let every vanity be gone. I would be peaceful and alone. Hymn 1085.
as we gather this evening round the word here at Swavesey, I direct your prayer for attention to two portions of scripture. Firstly, the book of Genesis, and we'll read part of chapter 32. Genesis chapter 32, and we'll begin reading at verse 6. Genesis chapter 32 and from verse 6. This is Jacob returning back to his own land. Verse 6. And the messengers returned to Jacob, saying, "We came to thy brother Esau, and also he cometh to meet thee, and 400 men with him." Then Jacob was greatly afraid and distressed. And he divided the people that was with him, and the flocks and herds and the camels into two bands, and said, "If Esau come to the one company and smite it, then the other company which is left shall escape." And Jacob said, "O God of my father Abraham, and God of my father Isaac, the Lord which saidst unto me, Return unto thy country and to thy kindred, and I will deal well with thee. I am not worthy of the least of all the mercies and of all the truth which thou hast showed unto thy servant. For with my staff I passed over this Jordan, and now I am become two bands. Deliver me, I pray thee, from the hand of my brother, from the hand of Esau, for I fear him, lest he will come and smite me and the mother with the children. And thou saidst, I will surely do thee good, and make thy seed as the sand of the sea, which cannot be numbered for multitude." And he lodged there that same night, and took of that which came to his hand a present for Esau his brother, 200 she-goats and 20 he-goats, 200 ewes and 20 rams, 30 milch camels with their colts, 40 kine and 10 bulls, 20 she-asses and 10 foals. And he delivered them into the hand of his servants, every drove by themselves, and said unto his servants, "Pass over before me, and put a space between betwixt drove and drove." And he commanded the foremost, saying, "When Esau my brother meeteth thee, and asketh thee, saying, Whose art thou, and whither goest thou, and whose are these before thee? Then thou shalt say, They be thy servant Jacob's. It is a present sent unto my lord Esau, and behold also he is behind us." And so commanded he the second and the third, and all that followed the drove, saying, "On this manner shall ye speak unto Esau when ye find him. And say ye moreover, Behold, thy servant Jacob is behind us. For he said, I will appease him with the present that goeth before me, and afterward I will see his face. Peradventure, he will accept of me." So went the present over before him, and himself lodged that night in the company. And he rose up that night, and took his two wives and his two women servants and his 11 sons, and passed over the brook, the ford Jabbok. And he took them and sent them over the brook, and sent over that he had. And Jacob was left alone, and there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of the day. And when he saw that he prevailed not against him, he touched the hollow of his thigh, and the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint as he wrestled with him. And he said, Let me go, for the day breaketh. And he said, I will not let thee go, except thou bless me. And he said unto him, What is thy name? And he said, Jacob. And he said, Thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel. For as a prince hast thou power with God and with men, and hast prevailed. And Jacob asked him, and said, Tell me, I pray thee, thy name. And he said, Wherefore is it that thou dost ask after my name? And he blessed him there. And Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, for I have seen God face to face, and my life is preserved. And as he passed over Peniel, the sun rose upon him, and he halted upon his thigh. Therefore the children of Israel eat not of the sinew which shrank, which is upon the hollow of the thigh, unto this day, because he touched the hollow of Jacob's thigh in the sinew that shrank. Now let us turn to the New Testament, to the Gospel according to Luke and chapter 11. The Gospel according to Luke chapter 11. And we will read the first 13 verses. Luke chapter 11 from verse 1. And it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, that is our Lord Jesus, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. And he said unto them, When ye pray, say, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, as in heaven, so in earth. Give us day by day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we also forgive every one that is indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And he said unto them, Which of you shall have a friend, and shall go unto him at midnight, and say unto him, Friend, lend me 3 loaves, for a friend of mine in his journey is come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. And he from within shall answer and say, Trouble me not, the door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give thee. I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity he will rise and give him as many as he needeth. And I say unto you, Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For every one that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. If a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he for a fish give him a serpent? Or if he shall ask an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? Thus far the reading of God's holy word. May he bless it to us and help us now as we come to the throne of grace. Let us pray. O Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Jacob, thou who art the same yesterday, today, and forever, the God that has created the world and all that is in it. And, O Lord, we seek to reverence thy great and thy holy name. We come before thee as our heavenly Father, thou who hast made us and not we ourselves. Thou hast redeemed thy people, sent thy beloved Son into this world, that he should die the righteous for the unrighteous, that he should provide a robe of righteousness for a people that have no covering of their own. O Lord, we do thank thee for the wonderful provision in the gospel of the grace of God seen in the face of Jesus Christ, thy beloved Son. And it is through his name that we come this evening and come seeking, Lord, those blessings that thou hast promised to give to those that ask of thee. O Lord, we gather here at Swavesey in very different circumstances than we gathered about a month ago. And O Lord, yet, Lord, we are the same preacher and we are the same congregation. And Lord, we do thank thee for that. And Lord, we are thankful if there are yet others that have joined us through the means that we have this evening. And may they feel one with the flock here at Swavesey, to be pleased to bless each of the congregation. We think of the several families and that are gathering together around thy word tonight. Do bless them each. Do bless the children, those off school at this time. And Lord, in this time, a historic time in our nation and in the world, oh, be pleased to speak to their hearts tonight and be pleased to open their ears to hear the gospel and to hear thy word through thy servant tonight. O Lord, we do seek that thou hast been pleased to grant thy blessing both upon the young and the old and those that are bearing the burden and heat of the day. We do particularly pray for those that are on the front line at this time, their lives in danger through their constant contact with the public, whether caring for the sick or whether providing services that we need for our food, for our protection. And Lord, we thank thee for those who so willingly work in these ways. And O Lord, we do pray that thou wouldst remember our homes, the Bethesda home, especially at Harpenden with those that are sick there at this time. We pray thy kind healing hand both upon residents and staff. And O Lord, be pleased to be with them through this dark valley. And O Lord, remember the other homes and the pilgrim homes as well, and each of thy people in their own homes that may be in fear and trembling, uncertainty at this time, and those who cannot have their loved ones to visit them and see them and help them. We pray for them. And O Lord, do be pleased to remember the congregation here. Bless their dear deacons. We pray for them, our dear brother at the desk. Do bless the hymns that are given out this evening. And be pleased to grant, Lord, that thou hast helped them and that they might be given that wisdom to guide the church at this time. And oh Lord, do help those that are helping with the service this evening in playing the organ and in singing. We do pray that we might each join in worship in that way, singing with the heart to the understanding also. And oh Lord, we pray for the continuance of the technology, and we thank thee for those able to arrange this and organize it tonight. But Lord, we do long for that time that we shall be again in thy house and see each other face to face. Lord, we thank thee for thy house. Lord, we know that the building is not the church of God, but it is to that building that thou hast provided and that is consecrated for the solemn worship of God and that only, that we gather together, and it is the gathering of the people together. Unto him shall the gathering of the people be. And, O Lord, we know that at last in heaven we shall all be gathered. Yet it is so now, more happy but not more secure, the glorified saints above. And though we are separate one from another, those already in heaven, those this side of the Jordan, Lord, we are like Manasseh, a divided tribe. Lord, but one day shall be like Ephraim, greatly blessed, all in Canaan. And, O Lord, we do pray that thou wouldst grant us that good hope beyond the grave, but also, again, to realize that sacredness of meeting together in the house of God. Lord, we walk the path of Psalm 84. We think of thy courts. We think of the sparrows. They will still be resting in the parts of the building, but we cannot be there. And, O Lord, do make us to value it more. And when, if it is thy will, we return, that there might be more returning, and that we might love thy house more, more diligently attend its earthly courts, more value the blessing that we have, and that we might more lift up the hands of those that preach the everlasting gospel. O Lord, we do thank thee that we can, as tonight, gather around thy word. And we thank thee that thou art able, and we believe hast already blessed it in this way. And we look for that help this evening, thy blessing this evening upon thy sacred word. We do return thanks unto thee for answers to prayer regarding our Prime Minister. We do thank thee for that measure of restoring. We pray for complete healing, and that thou wouldst help him and give wisdom in the running of this country with each of the parliament. But Lord, we do mourn that there is not an acknowledging of thy hand in healing, of thy almighty hand at this time. And we would, on behalf of this nation, seek a true spirit of confession to confess our sins, our aggravated sins, that thou hast brought this as a solemn warning to bring us back unto thee. And we seek, Lord, as judgment shall begin at the house of God, that we might be brought back unto thee, that thou hast be pleased to work a work in our midst, and that thou hast grant us that instead of being far off, backslidden, full of carelessness, prayerlessness, apathy, indifference, instead of the love of many waxing cold because iniquity abounds, that thou hast pour fresh life upon the whole, that thou hast grant that there might be that life in us personally and in our churches. And, O Lord, we pray for those that may be specifically exercised and burdened at this time because of the shut houses of prayer, because of delaying to walk in thy ways, and now they cannot. And, O Lord, those that may have those fears because of the valley of the shadow of death, of that which is affecting so many. And, Lord, our heart goes out to all those that are bereaved, Lord, those that have lost loved ones, those who are separated from them, cannot go to the hospital, cannot see them, don't know how they are. And Lord, we pray for those of our nurses and those looking after them that are working such long hours and see such things that they shall never forget. O Lord, uphold them mentally, physically, spiritually. And O Lord, do bless them in their souls at this time too. O Lord, we do seek that thou keep safe, especially those that are very vulnerable amongst us, and we have many. We thank thee for the mercies that are mixed with these judgments. Lord, we thank thee for thy goodness and kindness. O in wrath, remember mercy. Though the bud is bitter, Lord, bring forth the sweetness of the flower. Bring, Lord, as only thou canst, out of a curse a blessing. That is, turn Balaam's curse to a blessing. Turn this also. That is, turn this sentence of death upon our first parents to a blessing. Thou hast sent thy beloved Son. Thou hast blessed the Church of God in him. And countless millions already can testify of those healing streams that flow from Calvary. And O, be pleased to grant that even this night there might be another added. That is, add to the Church of God daily such as should be saved. Lord, do so today, do so tonight. Bless the company here at Swavesey. Bless our gathering. O Lord, be pleased to strengthen us in the Lord and bless the dear brethren with those answers to prayer. And may there be many that are able to say, for this child I prayed, for as soon as Zion travailed, she brought forth her children. Grant that this might be a travailing time. O wash and cleanse us from our sin. Lord, we cannot promise future good to bring. And Lord, as these things are in the earth, Lord, how we feel it so highlights the hardness of our hearts, how unmoving they are. O Lord, how they refuse to bend, how when they have bent, they go back again. O Lord, we do pray that thou wouldst be in control of our heart and that thou wouldst govern every motion there. And may we be like thee, to drink into thy spirit, and that we might be delivered from our own, and that thou hast grant unto us the blessings of the gospel, sanctifying us, dealing with our hard hearts, taking away our uncleanness, softening us, drawing us unto thee, bringing us to real repentance and godly sorrow. Bless us with the fruits of thy righteousness, the fruits of thy spirit, and bring to pass that saying, unto you which believe, he is precious, make Christ precious. We pray for the people of Swavesey. Lord, thou hast put the candlestick, the place of worship, here in this town. And we do seek that those that go past the doors, that see them shut, and they may have seen them for many years open, and now have a heart inclined to come in but cannot. And Lord, may there be those that are constrained to hear and join in to these services. And if any have tonight, do bless them. We are mindful of their need, and we pray for the people of Swavesey, that thou hast caused this to be a time of blessing for them and help for them in what may be their burden and trial and need at this time. And O Lord, may they, when the doors of thy house be opened again, if it is thy will, gladly come and gather with us. And Lord, they would know that they be most welcome here. O Lord, be pleased to gather in thy people, join them together, and cause to walk together in the fear of the Lord, with the love of God shed abroad in their hearts together. Help us then in our worship tonight. Help us to sing thy worthy praise. Help us, grant thy spirit, to preach thy word and to hear the word. O bless us then together. Forgive what we ask amiss and every sin. We ask through our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Let us continue by singing hymn 1128. Hymn 1128. Eternal Father, Lord of all, by heaven and earth adored, regard thy guilty creature's call, who would revere thy word. 1128.
For the help of the Lord, I direct your prayerful attention to the chapter we read in the Gospel according to Luke, chapter 11, and reading for our text, verse 9. The Gospel according to Luke, chapter 11, and verse 9. And I say unto you, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. Luke chapter 11 and verse 9. The subject that the Lord has given me for you this evening is the subject of prayer, and we have just sung a prayer in our hymn. The preceding verses that lead up to this is very evident that our Lord's message is a message of prayer, opened up in a way by when the Lord himself was praying, and then when he ceased, his disciples asked that he would teach them to pray. I wonder how many of you children have noticed and seen your parents pray, your father pray it may be, or your mother, and you've asked them, teach us to pray. And you know you're never too young to pray, never too young, remember that. And it is a blessed thing when you begin to pray and to, like in the words of our text, begin to ask God for things. Well, the disciples, they asked the Lord to teach us to pray. John, obviously, John the Baptist had taught his disciples. We read at another occasion, the Lord with the Sermon on the Mount, he had taught this same manner of prayer, and that's what it is. And there's really seven ways that the prayer is broken up. It begins with who is addressed, our Father which art in heaven. In some ways it's sad, really, amongst our churches we seldom use this manner of address, and yet we have in the Gospel according to Luke here in chapter 3, where the genealogy goes right back to Adam, goes back to each of the fathers, and then to God himself. And in one sense, all of us, as created, God is our Father. He is the Father of us all. But in a spiritual way, that beautiful hymn, my God, my Father, blissful name, oh, may I call thee mine. You know, there were some of those Jews that claimed that God was their Father, and yet they went about seeking to kill the Lord Jesus Christ. And they professed to be following Abraham and said he was their father. But the Lord said this did not Abraham. And so when we come before God, it is to approach him as our Father which is in heaven, unto our God, our Creator, and also the God of salvation. And then we are taught that reverence of his name. Hallowed be thy name. God is greatly to be feared in the assembly of the saints, to be had in reverence of all them that are about him. And his one real test, if you go into a new place of worship, a place you haven't been before, you can tell a lot just by the reverence or irreverence that may be in that place. If the Lord is truly there, there'll be that sense of gravity, of reverence, of awe, a sense that we're coming into the presence of the God of heaven. When the Lord appeared to Moses, it was put off the shoes from off thy feet. The place whereon thou standest is holy ground. And we are to reverence the Lord. And then it is with the desire that his kingdom should come, thy kingdom come. We think of the whole wonderful plan of the gospel to save sinners by the grace of God, the precious blood of Christ shed on Calvary's tree, and a people that are brought to look upon him whom they have pierced, mourn for him, to believe in his name, to trust in his name. The Lord says, the kingdom of God cometh not by observation, it is within you. And that work begins in the heart. It knits the people of God together. We know that we have passed from death unto life in that we love the brethren. And then it gathers them together at last around the throne in heaven. And it is the Lord's kingdom. A dear dying thief, he said, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And at the last, at the end of this world, the kingdom shall be delivered up unto the Father, the Lord Jesus Christ, the King over all his dear people. Well, he is King over them here, but here he's gathering his people from every nation, kindred and tongue, bringing them together. And so the next part of the prayer, thy will be done, as in heaven, so in earth. And in the dark valley that we're walking through at this time, we believe that the Lord's will is being done. But that doesn't mean to say that we don't pray it. We are bid here to pray that his will be done, as in heaven, so in earth. Then we are directed, give us day by day our daily bread. Some at this time found it very hard even to get their daily bread, to find provisions. It's not been easy. We trust that we've been very thankful for it. Remember years ago, a dear brother was asked to give thanks at a Christian holiday, and he gave thanks at the meal table, and he traced out the path of that bread right from the farmer to the one that harvested it, to the one that carried it in his lorry to be processed, the processors, those that then put it on the shelves and sold it to us, and all the steps that brought it to our tables. And it really made me think of that time. But at this time, what we're going through, how more mindful than ever of all the steps that bring our food to our tables. But when we pray this in this manner, in the Lord's Prayer, if the Lord has given us a spiritual appetite, man shall not live by bread only, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. And may we pray in this way for daily spiritual food for our souls. Not just when we gather as we do tonight, but day by day. The children of Israel, they gathered the manna day by day. And may that be our prayer too. And then for forgiveness of our sins. And when we're praying for that for ourselves, we're to be very mindful, do we forgive others that have trespassed against us or indebted to us? And then the prayer that we be led not into temptation, but delivered from evil. The Lord gives us the manner of prayer. The teaching is on prayer. And then we go from verse 5 to a parable. And the Lord there is teaching not just on prayer, but on importunity. He tells the parable of a man that's got a friend. And that friend has other friends come to him, and he has nothing to set before him. So he goes to his friend and asks him to provide for him. And he says, well, I can't. I'm in bed with my children, and I'm not going to get up and give to you. But the Lord says, though he wouldn't rise and give him because he's his friend, but because he keeps on and on and on asking, or because of his importunity, and that importunity means to harass with a persistent request, Now, some of you families will be very familiar with this, because if I remember rightly, when our children were young, that they were very good at this and they didn't need to be taught it either. If there was something that they wanted, they kept on and on and on and on until they wore us down and got what they wanted sometimes. And it's really a lesson for us, isn't it? And you children, if there are things that you ask and ask your parents of, this is the parable, the illustration here, ask and ask God for things, and especially for things for your soul, for salvation, for the Lord Jesus to be revealed to you, to be taught about him, to be saved, to be delivered from your fears. You might have many fears at this time. Well, those fears keep coming back. Keep asking the Lord to take away those fears or to preserve you, keep you from harm and from evil. This is what the Lord was teaching, the need for importunate prayer again and again and again. Remember when Elijah prayed for rain? He'd only had to pray once for fire, and fire came from heaven to consume the sacrifice. But when he prayed for rain, he had to go again 7 times, he said to his servant, before he began to see the answer. It might be with some of you tonight, you needed to be reminded of that. You might say, I've been praying and praying for something, asking and asking, there's no sign of it yet at all. I'm going to stop, I'm going to give up. Don't stop. Don't give up. Still pray on. Still pray, says the hymn writer in hymn 377, for God will all explain, nor shalt thou seek his face in vain. Well, that is the parable that's immediately before our text. And then we have the text. I say unto you, the Lord's applying it. Ask and it shall be given you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. What is this? Is it instruction? Yes, it is instruction. The Lord's instructing us what to do. Is it direction? Yes, he's directing us what to do. If there's something that we need, then we ask the Lord for it. Is something that we desirous to find, then we seek for it. If there's something that we cannot understand, that's shut to us, then we knock that it be open to us. Is it exhortation? Yes, it is exhortation. The Lord would say, do this, I say unto you, ask, and it shall be given you, seek, and you shall find, knock, and it shall be opened unto you. It is a verse that directs us, instructs us, exhorts us as to a path of action. And many times we can be wishing for something, saying to someone else about what we want and what we need, but we don't ask. We don't ask the Lord. We don't come before him in prayer. Well, the text is backed up in the immediate next verse with a promise, following on exactly the same path that the text is. For everyone that asketh receiveth, not just some, but everyone, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. The whole of our text is reinforced in the very next verse. And then it is backed up with a parable in verses 11 to 13. And this is another parable, an illustration, a natural story with a spiritual teaching to it that you children will be able to understand. If a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he for a fish give him a serpent? Or if he shall ask an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? Well, he wouldn't, would he? Your fathers wouldn't do that to you, would they? And so then he speaks to the fathers, if ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father, and right back from the very beginning, in the instruction of prayer, our Father, he says, your heavenly Father, give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him. We have the similar or the same teaching in Matthew, and there it's put, give good gifts to them that ask him. The Holy Spirit is a good gift. And it is the Holy Spirit, and especially in this application, if ever we are to know saving truth, if ever we are to know the Lord Jesus Christ revealed, it must be by the Holy Spirit. The Lord was later to pray and say, I will pray the Father, and he will give you another Comforter, which shall abide with you forever. Tarry at Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high. No use preaching, no use going out into the world without the Holy Spirit. And that still applies today. He that is the Holy Spirit shall receive of mine and shall show it unto you. And so the context right around our text is the context of prayer. Our text speaks of asking and seeking and finding. And I want to look with the Lord's help at these three points here. Asking in prayer and seeking in prayer and knocking in prayer. Firstly, I want to look then at asking in prayer. And I want to look at some examples of the dear saints that have gone before us. And we read together regarding Jacob. Now, Jacob had already been blessed 20 years before the time of which we read. He had been blessed at Bethel. The Lord had appeared to him, and the Lord had helped him while he was with Laban, and the Lord had told him to go back to his father's house. He was walking in the Lord's way. He was doing as he was told, and yet as he is walking in this way, suddenly he's confronted with what looked like certain death. He sent messengers to his brother Esau. When they come back, they say that his brother Esau is coming to meet him with 400 men. Now, very obvious that his intent was not a peaceable intent. The whole reason why Jacob had gone away was because he had stolen the birthright, he'd had the blessing, and Esau was saying, well, as soon as his father is dead, then I'm going to kill my brother. And so Jacob's mother, Rebekah, had sent him away thinking just for a few days. We don't read that she ever saw her son again. Those few days ended up 20 years. And in that time that he'd married his two wives, Leah and Rachel, and had most of the children that he had, later to be the 12 tribes of Israel. But here he comes back and confronted with this great shadow of death over him. Now, we haven't that literally, but in a way there may be those of you that are thinking, well, where we are at this present time, We're under the shadow of death. We cannot see this virus. We don't know where it's going to come next, who it is going to visit next. And those that get it, we don't know whether they have it mildly or severely, whether they shall recover or not. So much uncertainty. And we read here how afraid Jacob was. And it may be there are some of you as well that are very afraid. Now, the Lord didn't chide or reprove Jacob for being afraid. But Jacob, he took this course of action. And he took every precaution, didn't he? He He sought to appease his brother. He sought to take away the anger to, as much as he could in his practical way, to take away that threat. And in following the government's advice and precautions, we're really doing that in the midst of this pandemic. But you know, Jacob, he didn't just rest in that. And I hope none of us are just resting in that outward carefulness, however right it is and good it is. But Jacob, he has dealings to do with his God. And you know, in verse 9 here of this portion in Genesis 32, Jacob, one part of his prayer, I know our text is saying ask, but the part of his prayer is to be telling. He tells the Lord about the situation, reminds him that he had been told to go back to his father's house. He confesses his unworthiness, and then he prays in very simple terms, doesn't he? Deliver me, I pray thee, from the hand of my brother, from the hand of Esau. That's a beautiful illustration of asking. Now, some of you might think, how do I pray? What words do I use? When you look at one in fear, like here, he tells the situation and he very simply he says, deliver me. He asks the Lord to deliver him. And he says, I fear him, lest he would come and smite me. You might say, I fear this illness. What if it comes? What if it smites me? What if it smites my mother? What if it smites my family? And you tell the Lord all of this. And Jacob, he was able to plead some promises. Maybe you've had as well. And you can plead those promises before the Lord. It's a beautiful illustration. But then when we come to when Jacob is left alone, and then he really wrestles with the Lord. And you know, when it comes to our souls, the need of our soul, the need of Christ to be revealed, our sin pardoned and forgiven, and to have a true blessing in our soul, that is when we're alone. Wrestling prayer can wonders do, bring relief in greater straits. And dear Jacob, he wrestled with the Lord. I will not let thee go except thou bless me. He was walking in this importunate prayer. And he wouldn't let the Lord go until he blessed him. And the Lord did bless him and changed his name from supplanter, which is what Jacob means, to Israel, which is because for as a prince hast thou power with God and with men, and has prevailed. It's one that has obtained an answer to prayer. And if we were to read on into the next chapter, we'll read how Jacob met Esau, how he embraced him, the love that they had together, the peace that was there. A wonderful blessing, wonderful answer to prayer. And so when we think of our text, ask. Ask and it shall be given you. We think of dear Jacob. We think also of that beautiful account of Jabez's prayer. In 1 Chronicles chapter 4, in the midst of many names, then we have just two little verses, verses 9 and 10, that speak of Jabez. And Jabez was more honourable than his brethren, and his mother called his name Jabez, saying, because I bear him with sorrow. And then we read of Jabez calling on the God of Israel. That is what prayer is. In Genesis, early on, we read that men began to call upon the name of the Lord. That is what prayer is, calling upon the name of the Lord. And so he makes his petition here. And there's four things that he asks. He says, oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed. Now, there may be some of you, and you say, the Lord has blessed me in providence. He's given me a good job. He's given me a loving wife and children. and a home, and I have seen answers to prayer. I've seen the Lord appear, and I've known it is the Lord. But I want a blessing for my soul. I want the Lord to appear and seal me as his. I want Christ to be revealed to me. I want it truly to be known without a doubt that it's not just providential blessings, but it is those spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus that Paul speaks of to the Ephesians. That is what I want. And maybe there are those of you tonight, and that's what you want, the Lord to seal it, to seal that you are thine, to seal my pardon on my heart, assure my soul of its interest in thee. And dear friends, I greatly encourage you to join with dear Jabez in that, for a blessing indeed. Don't let the devil say to you, well, look, you've got all these tokens for good. Yes, they are. But if your heart is not settled, and you've got this aching void, you want more. You want Christ. Give me Christ or else I die. Then may you press him for that. Oh, that thou wouldst bless me indeed. There's a prayer for you, dear soul. Oh, that thou wouldst bless me indeed. Then he asks that his coast be enlarged. Now, of course, the children of Israel, they were given a coast. They were given part of the land in Canaan that was to be their lot and their inheritance. And as they grew, then they were to be given more land. And if their coast was enlarged, it would imply that there was more people there to actually live in that land. And so the way it could be viewed in a spiritual way, we might begin and there might be just a little bit of the truths of God that we know. Maybe only a little bit. You think of the man that had been born blind and the Lord worked that wonderful miracle and brought him to see. But he was able to say, one thing I know, whereas I was blind, now I see. But many other things he didn't know. But as the Lord was to teach them, then his coast was enlarged, and that there was more of the scriptures, more of the truth, more of the doctrines. Teaching is one of the promises of God. They shall all be taught of God, line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little and there a little. Their children at school, you that are in grade, say, five or six, and you are learning certain things, but you might have your brothers or sisters that are doing their A-levels or GCSEs or something like that, and they're doing things that you wouldn't understand at all. And really, their coast has been enlarged because they can understand more of the maths and more of English than what they did when they were your age. And so in spiritual things, when the Lord begins to teach his children, his people, then it is only little by little. But don't ever despise, even if it's one thing you really know of the things of God, what the Lord has taught you. Now, you wouldn't have those that are older, your parents that have learned many things in life's journey, say to you, oh, you've just learned to write your name. Oh, I can do much more like that. I can write a 1,000-page essay, and all you can do is to write your name. Of course they wouldn't. They'd be so pleased you could write your name, so pleased you can gradually learn more and more and do more and more. And so it is to grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. That's something to ask for, isn't it? That we might grow in grace. The Lord will teach us a bit more about himself. Well, then the third thing that is asked is to have God's hand with him. I wonder if we've learnt that blessing, that secret of the blessing of the Lord's hand with us. With dear Joseph, he had many trials, and the path that he walked was a path of great tribulation. But one thing that was always said, the Lord was with Joseph, and whatsoever he did, he made it to prosper. And that is what we want to discern, that the Lord is with us. The hand of the Lord is with us. That is what Jabez prayed for. May we join him in that. And then he asked to be kept from evil, and he gives the reason for that. And it wasn't just so that he's not punished, or even so that he doesn't grieve God, but it is so that it might not grieve me. If the Lord has really taught us what evil is and what a terrible thing sin is, and what it cost our Lord on Calvary's tree to put away the sins of his people, then it will grieve us. And the Lord give us that tender conscience and the fear of the Lord, so that when we do evil, it does grieve us. But to pray like Jabez, that the Lord would keep us from evil, so that we are not grieved with it. So there is another character, beautiful illustration of prayer, of asking. Then we think of Solomon. Solomon, he was only young when he took the kingdom from his father David, and the Lord asked him what he would like. He was invited, and Solomon, he asked for wisdom, wisdom to guide the kingdom. And we all know how that was so greatly seen in Solomon's life, the wisdom that God gave him. And if any man, says James in his epistle, lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. And may we pray also for our rulers, that they be given wisdom, and to seek that wisdom. I remember speaking to one of our local councillors on that, and it was regarding, I think they were trying to do things on the Lord's Day, hold a market, and I'd written to each of the councillors, and one of them I spoke to, and he said, well, he said, as a councillor, he said, you've got to balance all these things. He said, we need the wisdom of Solomon. I said, yes, and you know where Solomon got his wisdom from. And I gave him the whole printed copies of the Proverbs and Ecclesiastes, and directed him to the God of Solomon as well. And but would to God that not only ourselves but our rulers also look to that source of wisdom. But may we all, whether young or old, remember this, that to trust in our own wisdom is foolishness, to ask of the Lord. And may we then remember our text in this way, to ask for wisdom. In Ezekiel chapter 36, we have a beautiful account of the Lord setting before his people those things that he will do for them. He says that he'll sanctify them, sprinkle clean water on them in verse 25. Then he says that he'll give them a new heart, and then he'll put his spirit in them. And then he would save them from their uncleannesses and multiply the fruits of the field for them, and then bring them to godly sorrow for their sin, remembering their evil ways and mourning over their sins. And he says that he would do it not for his sake, their sakes, but for his own great name's sake. And then he says at the end of that passage that I will, for the by the house of Israel, be inquired of to do it for them. Thus saith the Lord God, I will yet for this be inquired of by the house of Israel to do it for them. So, dear friends, if you feel so unsanctified, and your wretched heart, and all uncleanness, this is one thing to pray, asking of the Lord to grant you the blessings of Ezekiel 36. You can read it in your own time. But it's a beautiful direction, what the Lord will be inquired of. Well, we have the gospel in all its beauty, its blessedness set before us. The blessings of the Lord Jesus Christ, the revelation of the Lord through the gospel. All of these things is that we might pray and ask of the Lord. Ye will not, says the Lord, come unto me that ye might have life. Ask and it shall be given you, we have here. Seek and you shall find, knock and it shall be opened unto you, in all the blessings of the gospel. The blessings that the Holy Spirit has to teach and instruct are the things of God, leading us to Christ, blessing us in our souls, keeping us in his way. Now you might have some objections. I want to just think of just some of those objections. You might think, what if I pray a wrong prayer? You know, be mindful of anything that holds us back from prayer. Our Lord is exhorting to prayer, to importunate prayer. He says, I will that men ought always to pray and not to faint. So beware that it be from the devil, from another source that discourages us in prayer. And one of the thoughts is, what if I pray wrong? Well, Paul prayed wrong when he asked the Lord to remove the thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan. The Lord didn't mean to take it away. Paul asked three times. But then the Lord gave him grace instead to bear it. And Paul says, much rather then would I glory in my infirmity, that the grace of God might abound in me. And so the Lord gave him something better. So don't be discouraged thinking, well, it might not be given. James and John came asking, can we sit one on thy right hand, one at thy left in thy kingdom? No, says the Lord, not mine to give, shall be for those for whom it is prepared. But he still answered them. It was no, and he showed what was to be the situation. But it's not to be hindered in it. You say, but what about in James's epistle? He says about asking amiss. Well, yes, it is. Ye ask amiss. Why? To consume it upon your lusts. If our motive for asking is just for the things of this life and just for ease and with no desire for the holiness, righteousness of God, for the honour and glory of God at all, it is just to consume it upon a worldly lust, then we know that is a wrong prayer and the Lord won't answer, won't give that. You might say as well, well, the thing that I want to ask is a really hard thing. It's impossible. I don't feel to have faith that the Lord will do it. Well, when Elijah was to be taken up into heaven, he said to Elisha, ask what I shall do for thee before I am taken. And Elisha, he asked a double portion of Elijah's spirit. And Elijah said, thou hast asked an hard thing. Nevertheless, if thou see me when I am taken from thee, it shall be. And Elisha did see him, and a double portion of his spirit was given. Elisha worked twice as many miracles as what Elijah did. And so don't let us be the judge of whether the thing be hard or not. Let the Lord be judge of that. Large petitions with thee bring, the hard cases, the impossible cases. Bring those before the Lord. And you might say, but I don't know whether it's indicted prayer. Does it come from the Spirit or is it just myself? Well, the illustration here, the parable that follows our text, it speaks of the good gift of the blessing that's given as being the Holy Spirit. Again, we are not good judge of whether we've really got the Spirit. You know, someone might be really wanting something and they mistake that real urgency and pressing for the thing they want for the Spirit. In actual fact, all it is that they so want it and that spurs them on in asking, and yet it not be the Spirit. And yet you can get that poor man in the temple, God be merciful to me, a sinner. And he had the Spirit and he had the justification and the blessing. And so let not that hinder us, because the gift that the Lord gives is the Holy Spirit. May we ask for that blessing of the Spirit. And I believe those that first begin to pray like the Apostle Paul, behold, he prayeth, it is because the Spirit has begun a good work in them, because the Lord has begun that they are beginning to pray. Ask then in prayer. It is because there is something that we want to be given to us. And the gift that the Lord has is the gift of eternal life, the blessings of salvation, the blessings of a hope beyond the grave, those things that cannot be earned, cannot be purchased, but are given as a free gift. And the Lord is glorified and honored in giving them to poor sinners. Another objection might be, well, the Lord knows already what we want to ask. We don't have to tell him. The Lord knew about Jacob. The Lord knows. That is very true. But also he wants his people to ask. He likes to hear from his people. And he has ordained that. He has said, this is the way that I want my people to walk in, is asking. Not just saying the Lord knows already, I don't need to ask, but go before him in prayer and ask. And you know, those prayers, some of the prayers I've had so clearly answered, are prayers I've been utterly ashamed of. I felt how poor they were, how lacking faith I was. I have not been proud of those prayers, and the Lord won't have us proud of prayer. He'll deal with us if that is the case. And so it is our hope in the Lord, not in our own prayer, when we come before the Lord and ask him. Well, just briefly then, regarding the seeking. If we seek in prayer, is something that we are wanting to find. I hope one of the things that we truly seek, we're seeking after the Lord. They said once, all men seek thee. Where that's true, may we be amongst them. Sirs, we would see Jesus. And really, in one sense, the people of God, all the way through their lives, are seeking after the Lord. And yes, we can apply this in many providential ways. Seeking things, seeking to know the Lord's will, seeking what to do. Very often, the seeking is prayer joined to action. You know, when Abraham would find a wife for his son Isaac, he sent his servant to seek for a wife. And when the servant comes to the well, he prays that the Lord would direct and guide. And the seeking and the praying, they go together. And especially I feel this with the Word of God. In the ministry especially, we ask the Lord for a text. We ask the Lord for his word for a people. And the Lord is pleased then to guide our footsteps in the word. Sometimes he lays it upon our spirit, we know. Other times we go from one chapter to another or one thought to another and we light upon the word that the Lord then distills upon our spirit to take. And it is asked for, then it is sought for. And it may be, and there's been many times like this, that I felt persuaded that the Lord would have me speak from a specific text. But I said, Lord, I don't know what this means. I don't understand it myself. How can I preach that? And so then I've got to knock. I've got to ask the Lord, Lord, open this word to me. Show me. And then I've got to search the scriptures, comparing scripture to scripture, and much on my knees asking, Lord, how shall this be? And there's sometimes I've tried and tried to find another text. I said, Lord, I can't preach from that text because I don't know what it means. And the Lord has shut up every other text. And I've had to go back and ask and ask. Lord, I cannot get away from this. Lord, show me what this means. Now, when Philip was sent to the eunuch in the wilderness, then he found him reading Isaiah 53, full of Christ, full of the sufferings that the Lord suffered for his dear people. And he asked him this question, understandest thou what thou readest? The poor man didn't. And he said, how can I except some man guide me? And he prayed that Philip might come up into the chariot. He said, of whom speaketh the prophet of this? Of himself or some other man? And we know the portion that he was reading there in Isaiah of the Lord's sufferings, of that which he endured for his people. All we, like sheep, have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way. The Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed, he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. And as he read this, and he didn't know who it was, Philip, he began at the same scripture, and he preached unto him Jesus. You know, that dear man had the Lord Jesus revealed to him through that sermon. And be blessed evening tonight if the Lord revealed himself through that sacred, that same word this evening. That dear man that was bruised for your iniquities and sins, that suffered upon Calvary's tree, whose back was torn with the scourge, whose hands, whose feet were nailed to the cross, whose brow was pierced with the thorns, who was mocked, who was taunted, and later whose side was pierced with a spear. That dear man, they shall look upon him whom they have pierced. Your sins, my sins, the sins of the people of God, they shall look upon him. And as he is lifted up on the pole of the gospel, as he is shown forth in the ordinance of the Lord's Supper, he do show forth the Lord's death till he come. Then the people of God, they get a little glimpse of him. And those are sweet, those are sacred moments before the cross that we spend. And it's a blessed thing if we find that the very parts of the Word of God that have been shut to us and we've knocked, Lord, open. I believe there's a precious treasure there. I believe there's something there that, if opened to me, would so satisfy my soul, would so bless my soul. And there's a knocking. We want something opened. It may be again in providence. It may be seeking that the Lord would go before and open up a way. Maybe there's those of you this evening. And since we've been not able to gather in the house of God, and Lord has touched your heart, and you've made a solemn promise, and you said, Lord, if thou dost appear and open the houses of God again, then I'm going to come, and I'm going to tell, and I'm going to acknowledge what thou hast done for my soul. I'm not going to hold back. And I have. I've resisted for years, and haven't. But now I must come. And now you feel it, because the church cannot meet, and those that do come forward cannot be baptized. And if you have made then that solemn promise, the Lord bring it about and help you to walk in that way and fulfill it. And you keep knocking, that the Lord would open that way and bring about that which is laid upon your heart to do. Well, this is the Lord's word. Is the Lord's word to you, dear friends at Swavesey tonight, and those that have joined, those who may be listening from other parts of this land and maybe other lands. The Lord says, I say unto you, ask and it shall be given you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. The Lord add his blessing. Amen.
God willing, there'll be a church meeting for church members, a prayer meeting for church members on Friday at 8:00. And God willing, next Lord's Day, Mr. Charles Woolboys is expected to preach at 10:30 and 6:30. And there'll be an open prayer meeting next Monday evening at 7:00. And on Tuesday, Mr. Izzard is expected to preach at 7:00. Let us close with hymn number 17. O love beyond conception great, that formed the vast stupendous plan, where all divine perfections meet, to reconcile rebellious man. Hymn number 17.
Of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all now and evermore. Amen.